There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost to the Atlanta Hawks by a score of 132-121. And if you could tell from the scoreline right there, not a lot of defense being played on the Raptors' part tonight, giving up 132 points. And you got to give the Hawks a lot of credit, I think, first off. They played a really good game, moved the ball really well, were really prepared for the Raptors. And the Raptors, you can run through some excuses if you want to. No OG, of course. He's still out with the calf issue. Nick said before the game that they expect OG to come back towards the latter half of the road trip. You could say, well, the Raptors played against Brooklyn last night, and the guys played heavy minutes. You know, some guys approached 40 minutes, a long flight down to Atlanta, back-to-back. Hawks were coming off the day off. The day before that, on Thursday, they got blown out. So, obviously, those guys were pretty rested. Yeah, you can put all these excuses together, but really, you got to give the Hawks a lot of credit. They played a really good game. You look at their stat line. I mean, you have six guys in double digits, including all five Hawks starters in double digits. This is like reminiscent of those Mike Budenholzer Atlanta Hawks Player of the Month award type of teams, where if you remember from that that season, their whole starting five got Player of the Month because, well, I mean, A, the starting five were playing well together, but also B, none of those guys were necessarily good enough to get the award on their own. But the Hawks played really well. They shot the lights out from three. They hit all their free throws, like 29 or 33 from the free throw line as a team is outrageous. They just beat the Raptors, flat out. Their starters beat the Raptors starters, their bench beat the Raptors bench. So, that's what it is. You got to give them a lot of credit. Having said that, though, I think for the Raptors, I do think that fatigue played a factor in here. Listen, that's just part of the game, right? That's part of the game. Not using that as an excuse whatsoever. But I think fatigue did play a factor in. I think the Raptors were not as, stingy as they usually are defensively. I think, some guys have some off nights defensively. Some guys looked horrible, and, some guys were just a step slow, but Raps defensively obviously weren't cutting it for tonight. And, I think the Raptors have a pretty clear defensive strategy. Despite the fact that, we always talk about the Raptors defense being difficult and Nick Nurse being tricky and he's all these schemes, that's true. But generally, the point of the schemes is to stop your go-to player. We have seen this for the three seasons that Nick Nurse has coached the Raptors now. He will target your team's number one player and try to take him out of the game. Yesterday against the Nets was a perfect example of that. You have James Harden only shooting 8 shots in 40 minutes. When have you ever seen that? James Harden only shooting 8 times in 40 minutes. You see James Harden shoot 8 times in like 4 minutes, let alone 40, okay? So that's the basic idea of the Raptors' defense, is that they're going to try to take away your number one guy and force other guys to beat you. And they tried to do that with Trae Young tonight, and Trae he was just too slippery. Like, that's the only way to describe Trae is that he's just a slippery defensive cover. Like, he's just darting past people, blowing past people. It wasn't even like necessarily that he was making all these shots. I mean, he only scored 6 field goals, but he got to the free throw line 14 times. Yes, there were some outrageous calls that he got. I mean, that's been Trae Young's story this whole season, is that they've essentially made him the new Harden in terms of giving him real light calls. Steve Nash called him out on it. Trae's averaging, 10 free throws per game. Last year was at 9. So, it's been a few years of this. But he was very shifty. But honestly, a lot of the times he just beat the Raptors defensively. You have a really good on-ball defender in Fred VanVleet, if not one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. We've seen his work against, Dame Lillard. We've seen his work against Steph Curry. I mean, damn, Steph won a whole game with one field goal. Okay, that's really how much Fred was on Steph, and Trey was just, you know, blowing by guys, blowing by Fred, and it was really impressive to watch. And it's not even necessarily that; it's the passing. I've always thought that the best part of Trey's game is the passing. He's very shifty. Obviously, you know, when defenses respect his 3-point shot. As much as they do, there's a lot of space. You know, he drops fouls, but really, it's the passing. The passing is really next level with Trey, and with the Raptors, you know, they send a lot of double teams at Trey. Guys coming up the level of the screen, mixing it up, blitz, you know, hard traps, all that kind of stuff against Trey, and Trey was able to just make quick passes. Like, I think he's obviously, you know, been so comfortable as an on-ball player for the majority, like not even just his NBA career, but going back to his time in Oklahoma and even before that in high school, that, you know, he's always played this way. So he knows when the defense is coming to him, and he makes such quick passes now that there's nothing you can really do to spring traps on him. He's just going to beat your trap by passing. And on a night where the Hawks were also shooting the lights out from three, they shot 19 of 36 from three tonight. On the season, they're 25th. In 3-point percentage. So of course that is a wild night. If they shoot the normal percentage, you take away like three threes from their score, all of a sudden it's a much different story. Of course, that's not how basketball works, but you know, the Raptors just couldn't contain Trey. It's actually really impressive to me, because we've seen the Raptors not defend this season. We've seen the Raptors lose this season on account of their defense. Things happen, right? We've seen guys go off for, you know, decent nights. You know, Jason Tatum comes to mind, Brandon Ingram comes to mind, whatever. But generally speaking, I have not seen the Raptors just have so much trouble containing one dude. And I think Trey, it's a real testament to his ability that he's able to do that. But yeah, the Raptors just couldn't get a handle on him. And literally throughout the course of the game, the Atlanta Hawks just kept scoring. You know, the second quarter was particularly egregious. I think that, oddly enough, that wasn't a lot of Trey. That was a lot more of the Raptors' bench not having the requisite defensive energy against the Atlanta Hawks bench. Also, it was just some ridiculous shot making. I mean, that's where I'm just like, all right, you know what, Solomon Hill and Tony Snell are going to combine for four threes in a quarter. This is ridiculous, right? You know what I mean? But then again, I mean, I can't be surprised. Those guys have killed the Raptors many times in the past. But the Raptors just couldn't lock in defensively, and it was really tough to see. And you know, it created this kind of game where the Raptors just needed to score to match the Hawks. Like, and, you know, Raptors had the lead early. They lost the lead in the second quarter, and they just kept trying to fight, you know, this uphill battle against the Hawks. And the Raptors just didn't have the offensive execution to do it. I think, you know, you look at Kyle Lowry, obviously a phenomenal game against the Nets tonight, 9 points, 4 of 16 shooting, just wasn't good enough. You know, offensively, was missing his threes. You know, shots weren't going in for him. Fred, you know, forced a lot of shots at the rim, but he just wasn't going. And honestly, even Pascal, right? 15.6 of 15 shooting as a number one scorer, only two free throws drawn. You know, there was issues there for him offensively as well, although I think the Hawks were really, really collapsing on Pascal very, very hard. So, you know, it was a loss all whole way, and it was just tough to see. But in terms of the positives from this game, one of the big positives obviously is Chris Boucher having a career night. 29 points for Chris. That's a career high for him. 10 rebounds as well. And this was such an impressive game from Chris, because the Hawks actually have a decent amount of size. You know, Clint Capela has been, you know, honestly one of the best centers in the NBA performance-wise. Just in terms of his per-minute production, he's been really, really good. Although, let me just check that, because honestly, that does sound like something wild to say coming out of my mouth. But yeah, Capela, man, he's leading the league in rebounding this year. He's, you know, brought a level of stability defensively to the Hawks that the Hawks have needed. And yeah, him and Trey have really paired well. You know, I think the fact that you have Capela down there, you have John Collins down there, and then even the Hawks' wings aren't really small. Like, you look at, like, Cam Reddish, for example. This guy, I remember watching him when Duke came to Toronto. That was the infamous game where Zion played his first, like, preseason game. This is in Mississauga at the Hershey Center, although I guess they changed that to Paramount Fine Food Center, whatever. But Duke came to play, and that was also RJ's homecoming and, you know, coming to Mississauga and playing. That was a great game, honestly. Great exhibition. Zion dunked on some 7'3" guy from Ryerson. It was there were some ridiculous highlights. But you know, I remember talking to Cam and speaking to him and stuff like that. I mean, he was so skinny back then, and you know, he was kind of described this as like Kevin Durant kind of figure. When you look at Cam now, he's really filled out physically, and he's pretty big too. I mean, he was always very tall, 6'8", but he's really filled out a 6'8" now. You know, Herter is tall for a shooting guard, so, and even off the bench, they got good size. Like no one on the Hawks bench was small, right? You got Solomon Hill, Rajon Rondo, Tony Snell. Those guys are all big for their positions. Gallo is, you know, 6'9", and Okongwu is pretty athletic and pretty big himself. So it's a big team for the Atlanta outside of Trae Young. And so for Chris Boucher to get 7 offensive rebounds against this team, it was very, very impressive. You know, and Boucher was just so active. You know, obviously was asked to do a lot defensively again, and he was doing that as well. But yeah, Boucher was, you know, delivering so much for the Raptors. I think the Raptors, especially with the guards not going, that pick and roll game, in order for that to be, you know, sustained, that had to go to Boucher for that sustenance. And Boucher was rolling to the basket, finding gaps in the right spots, beating the Hawks defense. And again, 7 offensive rebounds leading to a ton of putbacks for the Raptors. You know, Boucher collecting air balls, putting them in, you know, just like following up plays. He was just in on the play every single play. And the, what's most impressive about that is Boucher pretty much played the entire second half, even though this was a bench player, right? Because, you know, bench players are generally not going to have the opportunity to play that much. But, you know, Boucher checked into the game with 7 minutes and 37 seconds left in the third quarter, and he did not come out, which means he played a consecutive stretch of 20 minutes. And, you know, he did all that despite the fact that he was also the Raptors' most active player offensively and defensively. Well, maybe not defensively. Pascal was pretty active too, but it was just very impressive to see. And it was a good performance from Chris. It was a career high, very insistent performance. And, you know, what was kind of a letdown, well, not kind of, it was a big letdown, was the fact that, you know, you compare what Chris was doing off the bench to what Aaron Baines was giving them at the starting five. I would say it's night and day. Like, it's such an overused trope. Like, it was almost embarrassing, you know? And, you know, Baines had been on a good stretch recently. He really had been. He really settled into his role. He was, you know, it was complimentary of his play. I think he had some good matchups, you know, whether it was DeAndre Jordan or Bam Adebayo or Domantas Sabonis, like kind of traditional centers, and he did a good job. And you would think today against Capella, kind of the same deal. Right away, you knew that Baines was not it for this game, because Capella in his first shift blocked his shot at the basket. Baines, you know, threw up an air ball 3 wide open, of course, you know, just airballed it. And then Capella collecting offensive rebounds, scoring putbacks right over Baines, you know, Trae Young going by Baines. It was ridiculous, and it does look like early season Baines again, which, you know, and it's not like the Raptors lost specifically because of Baines. I think, you know, the main players of the Raptors didn't play well enough. Like, I'm looking more at Kyle scoring 9 points than I'm looking at Baines, you know, in his 15 minutes being a minus 10. But having said that, it's deflating. And it's super deflating when you watch, like, him just blow wide open layups. You know, in a game where the Raptors are really, really pressed defensively, they need to keep scoring. And then the Raptors work a great play. Pascal draws a double, finds Baines for a layup, miss. Kyle, you know, draws the defense, finds Baines in transition for a follow-in, for just like a transition layup as the trailer in transition, which is about as basic of a play as it gets for a center outside of just, you know, a wide-open dunk. And Baines missing that. It's deflating, man. It just is. And then you look at things like 0 rebounds in 15 minutes. Like, 0? Like, if it, you know, you just at least got to grab the board. So it was disappointing to watch. You know, I think maybe it was just the fact that it was the back-to-back. You know, obviously that's going to affect the older players more than the younger players. You know, obviously Boucher was still quite active, even though he played a big part in that Brooklyn game. You know, Baines is, what, 34 years old? Looked like he was, you know, 34 years old today. And Kyle Lowry, you know, a little bit of the same, although Kyle was obviously way more active. But, yeah, it was a tough night for Baines. But, you know, there was a lot of guys that just didn't fully have it for them, the Raptors. You know, like I mentioned earlier, Fred forcing layups that just went nowhere. He was able to sustain his scoring. I mean, he had 25 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, you would say. It's not a bad game. And I don't think Fred necessarily played a bad game, but a lot of that was also, you know, when the defense got to a point where nobody could play it because of the officiating was, again, another similar to that Nets game. Just a very comical series of decisions by the officials. I believe 4 techs being called. You know, Trae Young getting, I swear to God, a mosquito could sting Trae Young and he'd go to the free throw line. You know, that was the level of officiating. And generally speaking, if the refs call that standard, as a smart veteran point guard like Fred is, take the opportunity and attack the defense, because, you know, if there's any contact, they'll call it. It's almost like a guilty conscience by the officials. So I thought Fred was able to grift his way into a few free throws, which is great. That was the most efficient part of his game tonight, but, you know, it wasn't really coming off. In terms of the other more positive things, I thought Norm was really good in his role. I think he had the vast majority, if not all, of the Raptors' transition points. You know, every single time the Raptors, whether it was a make or miss by the Hawks, and the Hawks were really good at getting back in transition. That is something that's really, like, if you can just keep the other team from not getting out in transition, you're halfway there to being a good defense. And the Hawks really just need to be halfway there to be a good defense, because they do have some offensive weapons to do some other stuff. Although they honestly have some personnel this year to really be a above average defensive club. But Norm was the exception. Norm was just, the Raptors would inbound, Kyle or Fred would just throw a quick hit ahead to Norm, and he would just punch through and go right to the basket and finish, draw contact. Norm was doing a really good job out there. And, you know, he has, what, his 6 20-point game in his last 7, the lone exception being yesterday against the Nets, where he had 18. And he had, you know, if you recall from that game, a couple of missed foul calls that would have probably got him to 20 again. But yeah, it's becoming very automatic for Norm to make his shots. You know, and I think automatic for Norm doesn't necessarily mean he's going to make all his threes. That's usually when you think about an automatic player, you would think about them making jump shots. But he was automatic in the sense that he was making the read so quickly, so alertly, and with so little hesitation that it gave the defense absolutely no chance to react to him most of the time. He's just so decisive. He was reading the opportunity, and he was just taking it. And Norm has, you know, I always think that when Norm can score like 20 points without even, you know, relying that much on a three-point shot, of course, you know, a lot of people can get to, you know, a high digit scoring night if you're hot from three, right? That of course that happens, but Norm only won 3 tonight and he still got 20 points. I thought Norm was good. Of course, later in the game the transition opportunities start to dwindle a little bit and his effectiveness kind of drops, because you do need him to play in transition. But I have no complaints about how Norm played tonight. I thought Bembry made some nice passes. I think he set up Boucher for a dunk or something like that. But Bembry made some nice passes. Boucher had some posters too, by the way. I forgot to mention, but Boucher had 2 absolute poster dunks. It wasn't quite DeMar on Boucher, but definitely some really nice posters for Boucher to keep in his, I don't know, man. Do people still hang posters? I guess not, right? Like, if you're an adult, you're hanging a poster of yourself in your room. That's maybe a bit strange. Although I really can't judge. Those were great dunks. But aside from that, you know, the Raptors just didn't quite have enough. You know, they wanted Terrence Davis to play. He played 17 minutes, committed 3 fouls. You know, I thought it was a risky move to bring TD into a game in the third quarter where the Hawks were already in the bonus. The refs were already calling it very tight. And I'm just thinking, all right, so TD's going to come in the game. He's going to guard Trae Young. How's that going to go? Well, Davis is guarding Trae Young off a pick and roll, 35 feet from the rim, reaches in, 2 free throws. Just a pointless foul there. Then Terrence is shading Trae Young in the backcourt, just pressuring him like 90 feet away from the basket. Now there's 2 free throws. And, you know, whatever. I mean, it happened to guys like Bembry too. Bembry's a more disciplined defender. But, you know, it's almost inevitable that something like that will happen. And you just really need him to cut down on the mistakes, because there are things he can do offensively. You know, he hit a 3. He also took a wild step back 3 with like 15 seconds on the shot clock. That was an air ball, and I don't understand the thought process that went into that one, because it wasn't like he had a step on his man or a great mismatch. But alas, yeah, that wasn't really working out. Stanley came in, gave them some minutes, hit two threes. You know, but I think defensively, the Raptors just couldn't lock in enough to sort of amplify what Stanley does well. Utah got a shift in the first half, didn't really do much. Stanley got his minutes in the second half. Yeah, you know, it just was one of those nights where Raptors just didn't have enough to beat the Hawks. And so, you know, it is what it is. You take the L on the chin and just kind of keep it moving. Of course, I think this is going to be one of those years where it's going to be so up and down for pretty much every team. Like, coming into this game, the Raptors had the longest win streak in the NBA at three games. Like, you know, that's just not going to be great. And I think it is due to the nature of no fans. It's due to the nature of, you know, rosters being, you know, in flux. Obviously, the league's COVID handling has been very strange, to say the least. But yeah, it just, for whatever reason, the Raptors didn't have enough tonight. And look, it's a tough road trip, right? The Raptors had gotten the first two wins of the road trip. That's great. This was a winnable game. I think the Hawks played so well that it became out of reach for the Raptors, especially the way Trey was playing and the way guys were hitting threes. But this was a bit of a winnable game. The Grizzlies will be a winnable game. The Wizards will be a winnable game. And then the Celtics at the very end of it, second half of back-to-back. That one's going to be very, very difficult. But, you know, if the Raptors can go 4-2 on the road trip, you'd be pretty thrilled. So hopefully, well, I mean, the Raptors are 2-1. They're on pace to do it. Yeah, it was not necessarily even a bit of a missed opportunity, but, you know, this game just didn't break the Raptors' way.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In terms of your three stars from this game, obviously, number one star goes to Chris Boucher. Just a tireless performance. You know, again, this the juxtaposition all season between what Boucher has done and the way he has played versus the way Baines has played has been just tough. You know, I think Nick is pretty set on bringing Boucher off the bench, which I understand. I mean, look, he's done really well in his role. Do you necessarily want to change his role? Not necessarily. However, it does create opportunities where if the starter struggles and you really want to ride your bench guy, then all of a sudden you might have situations like tonight where Boucher plays 20 straight minutes, which as much as he did play really well in those 20 minutes, that's not a sustainable formula going forward. Whereas if you start a guy, you can at least give him a bit of a breather, then bring him back in. You can stagger the minutes a little bit. But yeah, Boucher was excellent tonight. And honestly, you needed him for the 20-minute stretch because he was one of the only players of the Raptors who had you know, energy in their legs. So yeah, Boucher, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds. That's, he single-handedly had more offensive rebounds than the Hawks, who had only had 4. Of course, the Hawks, you know, pretty much ditched the offensive rebound except for when Capella was matched against Baines. But yeah, Boucher was really good. 10 of 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. Only thing is he missed some free throws, 7 of 13 from the free throw line. You know, he's normally good from there, usually around 70%. So that was low. But, you know, Boucher also gives you an assist, 2 blocks, and only 1 turnover in 33 minutes. Fantastic night for Chris, career high. Second star, that's where it gets difficult. I'm going to give it to Norm. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. I like how disruptive Norm has been defensively. He continues to come up with just like steals where he's just digging in. And I think he's really locking defensively as well as what he's doing offensively. Didn't make his threes, only 1 of 5, but got to the free throw line 6 times. And yeah, got, you know, was the Raptors' only weapon in transition. So I thought Norm played a good game there. And then third star, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I guess Fred, I mean, Fred did have 25 points on 10 of 11 free throws and 3 of 7 from 3 and 6 of 18 from the field, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals. But I don't know, man. It's not like his defense when Trae Young was bad necessarily. I think the strategy was to press up on him. Don't give him any space. You could definitely pull up from anywhere, and to sort of shade him towards help. But you know, I don't know, man. To the eye test, it just didn't seem as impressive as a usual Fred defensive performance would be. I mean, I don't really want to give it to Pascal either, though. That's the problem. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Defensive energy was solid. Really was really solid. And Pascal's locking in that on that end, but some missed opportunities. So, I mean, I guess they both missed layups. So I guess I'll give Fred the third star. But yeah, it's an uncomfortable one for that one. I just think the Raptors kind of did lack that third guy to really support the effort. And to carry them, because, yeah, the Raptors, you know, defensively just were not doing the job. Turns out Gerald Henderson Award winner. I guess I'll give it to Gallo. Like, it's not like, okay, so 14 points for Gallinari, a veteran who's been in the league many years and an established scorer. It's not obviously out of his skill set, but Gallo had been struggling a little bit this season. And to see him tonight, I mean, he was just very effective in his role. As pretty much just like a six man kind of gunner, you know, I think as a hub of the offense, you know, whether it was in the post, you know, drawing doubles, you know, and kicking it out, or him scoring on the few opportunities that he did have. Very efficient, man. 14 points, 4 of 6 shooting, 3 threes as well, 3 free throws, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, plus 9 in 25 minutes. I thought Gallo was good, so I'll give it to Gallo. So it's tough. It's tough. It's a tough loss. But it's an acceptable one too. I think the Raptors gave their best effort. This is the best they could do tonight, and just wasn't good enough. And you got to give the Hawks a lot of credit, because they played really well, man. And the Hawks this year just aren't the same Hawks as they were before. Like, you know, before, the Hawks were like a guaranteed win every single time. They were just so weak defensively. They didn't play well together. They had so many young guys in the rotation that didn't know what they were doing. Now you look at the composition of their team. Like, their bench is 4 veterans, like Gallo, Hill, Rondo, Snell. Those are all vets, surrounded with Okongwu, who is a rookie. But, you know, if you have 4 vets surrounding a rookie, you can generally carry that. Capella's an experienced guy who's been on a winning team in Houston. Collins and Trae Young are very talented players who have definitely leveled up. And even guys like Herter and Reddish are pretty solid. Reddish is a nice two-way player. Herter, honestly, defensively, didn't look bad tonight, so... and he scored 19 points. So you got to give the Hawks a lot of credit, man. They played really good. So sometimes you just play your best game and lose. And that was the case of the Raptors tonight. So the Raptors get one night off on Sunday before they travel to Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies this year, not bad. Not bad at all. I mean, they're 9-8. They obviously missed, had a couple of games canceled due to COVID. They have lost their 2 games against Indiana and Houston this week. Tonight, how do they do? What do they do tonight, man? They lost to the Pelicans. So, you know, they're on a 3-game losing slide. We'll see what happens. You know, hopefully the Raptors can get a little bit of rest on their day off and come back with a renewed effort and energy. Given how much the Grizzlies are going to sit back on defense and, you know, rely on some of their big men and try to load up in the paint, you know, you're probably going to expect another, you know, difficult night for the Raptors centers. But you can pretty much say that every night. And yeah, so look, it's still a winnable game for the Raptors. They've been playing decently of late. You really can't knock the Raptors for the fact that, of course, after their 2-8 start to the season, the Raptors have been 8-5. That's not terrible. That's not terrible. That's closer to what you would expect from the Raptors. So hopefully the Raptors can get back in the winning ways when they play Memphis on Monday. So thanks everyone for listening. Continue to rate, review, subscribe. Appreciate everyone's support for the show. It's really sincerely appreciated. And yeah, I'll be back on Monday to recap Raptors Grizzlies.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.